That's what, it was quite strange, very different experience. And that's just like the passage we're going to read here, which is desert and camels and travelling and upheaval and change. So this is Matthew chapter 2, the visit of the Magi. So that's all there is about Munich. I'm sure Leslie will tell you more about the school if you wanted to hear. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be my shepherd, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I too can go and worship him." You just imagine the slyness in his voice trying to there. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Cheers, David. Thank you for that. It's always good to catch up with you both. I know you went, you emigrated in August, but it seems like you've never been away. But it is a real privilege to have you back and fill us in what's going on. Just want to say, as Kath's preparing for this service, we'd sort of got the beginning bit and the end bit and just leave the others to the worship leaders. And she said, "But I love this song and that sort of thing." And lo and behold, what do we get this morning? It's handed over to Mike. He just plays what she'd been swimming around in red. What great worship leaders we have. And what a privilege that you can just give them a topic-ish. And they fill in. Don't get too big headed, Mike, about it. Are you still with me, Barry? You're so far. Must apologise to Tim and his family. I'm a northerner. Barry struggles. "What are you saying?" But as northerners, if we can say it in three words, why take 10? So I hope that Tim, family, that you're with us this morning. If not, it's all written down. You can take it back and read it, maybe. I don't know if you're expecting me in shorts this morning or whatever, but I thought, Cass says, "You can't wear shorts, and I've got a tie." The unexpected tie. The one and only time. So you noticed that I came the scenic route this morning, because I've got to risk assess everything I do now. Some of you may have seen that earlier in the week I was wrapped in bubble wrap to prevent a recurrence of this time last year. I just expect I was taking the dog a walk. I ended up with a broken leg, broken ankle, and in Addenbrookes. I didn't expect that. So I've been well wrapped up. But I've got to risk assess everything. But it's great to see Ricky jumping up here, then Trevor jumping up. And I remember when I did it, and I must be getting soft now with living down here, because we had heights, we had hills and mountains up north, and we used to walk up them and run up them, all sorts. But I think I'm getting soft now with it being flat. And coming up here in such a short distance, it just does my head in. So that's why I took the scenic route. So I said to Andrew, I had this vision, this idea, well, not a vision, it was an idea that I was going to shove loads of pictures on a disc or whatever. So I said to Andrew, "Do I just do it and send it on a floppy disc?" He said, "Floppy disc?" He said, "We've moved on now. Just send them to me. I have a stick on my keyring. Log one." He said, "I have a stick on my keyring thing." People have sticks on the keyrings. They have bottle openers on the keyrings. They probably have a fob of the car. What sort of car it is to remind them. Some people even have keys on. It reminded me of when Anthony spoke months back. I do remember Anthony. He had a little drawer. He had a drawer, had a tape measuring. I thought, some people carry all these around on the keyring. It makes me wonder why you don't pull the steering wheel off when you put it in your ignition. So I had to do a review of the year. And I had this idea that I was going to flash all these images up. And then I thought, I'm going to impinge copyright here, so I'd better not. So lo and behold, last night I'm on social media, as those kids do. And so, Lord, I've been looking all week. BBC's had reviews on for sport, they've had reviews on for people who have died. I thought, I would just want some normal things. And last night, there's a big list of them, pictures on Facebook. So I thought, well, it's only on Facebook because my cousin had commented about them. So I thought, if I do these, I'm going to get done for copyright. Something's going to happen. So I thought, I've just got to talk through some of the what's happened country-wise and probably in the world, really. It started with an American. I don't want you to think I'm political. I'm just making my little comments about this. There's no political bias or input intended. It started with an American, with Donald getting inaugurated. It ended with Meghan the Marvellous Markle getting engaged to Harry. The Marvellous comes from, that's a darts name, Meghan the Marvellous. It's just Meghan Markle, really, but that's a darts name. And in between, we had an election, a snap election. Now, a snap election is, oh, what's that? It's something that happens. Not 6 weeks. The snap's gone off, hasn't it? You know, and your 20-odd% leads come down to nothing. And you have to live with it. What you're left with, sort of thing. So we had the election. But it's been marred with tragedy, really. We had the Manchester bombing. There's been terrorist attacks in London. And the Grenfell Tower. That inferno. I remember waking up that morning, I think it was June, putting the news on and just seeing that towering inferno. And people were actually living in there and dying in there. And it's not so. But these things, these events seem to have brought the goodness out of people. Manchester brought all the goodness out of people. And a lot of people have a lot of good in them. You know, maybe the Christians, but there's a lot of good around. We just hear a lot of the bad stuff, but it's just being able to harness that good stuff and move it on. So what have we done? What have we got as a church to be thankful for? Now, I apologise, I'm going to miss groups out, but there's loads of stuff going on in here. We've got Sean on a Monday night. We've got Fruitful. We've had Iron Sharpens Iron. There's all sorts of things going on, but there's just a few what I've picked out. We had faithful. What we did as a church. We had faithfulness on the front line. We were all encouraged by church on a Sunday morning, and then in our groups to actually use our front line to be a witness. Be a witness for Jesus. What are you doing in our life? And use opportunities to share with people. We had the prayer course in May, Thy Kingdom Come, where we're asking Jesus, teach us how to pray. We had the meals with Jesus, and now I don't know where Chris gets his images from, but I look at the image and then look a bit deeper, and there was one, I think it was his first one, where the devil's tempting Jesus to throw himself down. I'm sure the devil had a Cornish pasty in his hand. I don't know if Chris will resurrect these, but each time then, each week he'd go through it. So by week six, you've got six lots of images. And every time it looked more and more like a Cornish pasty. But don't tell him. We have that in summer. And then we're currently going through now Life in the Spirit, which good old Andy's drawing to a conclusion next week. What have we done as a village via the church? We've got churches together. We've had events in Nest Court. We had the carnival, that gorgeous sunny June afternoon. And then we had holiday at home for the older ones when it was really over. It wasn't oversubscribed. We got them all in. But it's a mega thing that's reaching out to the village, the summer holiday at home. We've had a few speakers. We've had Beth Pownie at Harvest. We had Roger standing at the Fanning to Flame weekend. Simon Bailey. We had Mel, Chris's mate, for Science Sunday. And in between, we've had Leslie. We've had Kath. I think we had you, didn't we, this year? I'm sure it was this year, before you went and come back. We've had Leslie, we've had Kath, and we had Anthony. Christmas, kiddies, carol thingy. It all went in. And we've got our own inimitable Chris, who week after week has to keep coming up with something. And bless him, how he does. And who can forget the three baptisms that we've had? Mark in February, Daniel at Easter, and the tidal wave that Daniel brought. We're not going to forget that, but let's not move away from the importance of the baptism of Mark and Daniel and then Kath in November. Just going back to images, I just wonder if you've got any lasting images from this last year within the world, within the country. Mine is Grenfell Tower. And seeing that again in, I think it was about 14th of December when they had the memorial service, just seeing a blackened out, a tomb to a terrible tragedy, really. And it's still there. It's there for people to see every day. I think my lasting one is this current thing that we're in with them, Chris, now, this life in the Spirit. And the one of them, for being filled with the Spirit, he's had a little glass of water on, a little tumbler of water, and then he had a massive big wave. I asked Chris to do the wrong thing. He sent them as two separate pictures, really. But he said, are we just in the glass of water? Or are we throwing ourselves into the wave and getting involved? And when Chris asked me to do this, it seemed a good idea. I thought, I've got months to get out of it yet. And as time got near, he said, look, you can talk about anything. He said, normally at this time of the year, we have a sort of just looking back over the year. He said, I'll give you something or you can do whatever. So when I saw that come up with a glass of water and that, I thought, that's it, that'll do me. And I immediately saw scuba diving in that. You might think, scuba diving? Now, Kath and myself have had the privilege of actually scuba diving and seeing some great and wonderful sights underwater. We're privileged that in the early 90s that we could go to the Maldives, and that started an annual pilgrimage there for about the next 12, 14 years. And as we're going, our joy, our eldest, bought us snorkel, fins and mask. You'll need these. So we thought, okay then. And boy, because there's nothing to do in the Maldives, they're just idyllic islands. But you just spend your time in the water. And as you're snorkeling, you're just walking in the water, you can't see anything. But once you get a bit of glass over your face, and you look down in the water, and what you can see is just teeming with abundant life. And that, we just didn't expect to see what we saw. And then you just go a bit further with your snorkel and see a bit more. And you get to the end of the ice reef, what just dropped off, because you were just floating on the surface. But we didn't expect to see how much we did see. So that took us then from snorkeling into diving. And with these pictures, I just wonder, have we just got the glass of water and we're just happy, we're just paddling along, or are we just willing to throw ourselves in? We could see the view underwater, and it just led to our curiosity to want to know more, what was deeper and just beyond the house reef. And then in the evening, everybody had had the meal, they'd be in the captain's bar, and the divers would just be talking about what they've seen, and you think, that really began to whet our appetites. To become scuba certified, I believe you're probably thinking, you might ask, that it has a parallel we live in our Christian faith. Let me try to explain it a little bit, to unravel it, but I'm going to keep moving from Jesus and to diving and back again. I think, as I said earlier about how people have come together, people today, they're crying out, they want something more in their life, and they're perhaps doing a little bit of dabbling in this, a bit of dabbling in that. Even as Christians, we're probably happy just to plod along, just dabble at the surface, we're just snorkeling. Jesus, when he came, he speaks now to the snorkelers, he did when he came 2,000 years ago, telling people to repent, believe, come to me, and I will teach you how to live life to the full. In scuba, we have a dive master. In this, Jesus is the master, if you like. He teaches us to go beyond the surface and to experience the full reality of the kingdom of God that he has to offer. Offer. In scuba, the dive master teaches the truth about atmospheric pressure, breathing compressed air at various depths. He explains the dangers, the rewards of scuba diving. And as students, you have to believe what he says. Take that information on board that we're being taught, remember it, put it into practice, and enjoy the experience of diving. Like learning to dive, being a Christian requires us just to master the basic information. Read the Bible. The teachings of Jesus gives us those vital truths to live and to enjoy our spiritual lives to the full. Just possessing the knowledge of the scriptures doesn't experience living life to the full in the kingdom of God, just as grasping the theory of diving doesn't teach you to be a diver. Most of the theory, most of the scuba instruction takes place in the water. You do your classroom work, you've got loads of manuals to read, but your actual practical bit is out in the, when you've done your swimming pool stuff, it's out in the open sea. And that's how it is with God. I think with diving, you've got to take the, you've got to be prepared to get wet, go underwater, and I believe it is with God. You've got to be willing to take the plunge. And as divers, it's only when you enter the water that you discover that what the dive master's told you, that you begin to grasp the knowledge and the experience of diving. He demonstrates how to breathe through your regulator, how to clear your mask when it fills with water, horrible seawater, and believe me, it does. And it's an handy thing to know when you're 20 metres underwater. And he tells you how to handle emergencies, what to do in case of that, in case of this. You always need a buddy. Unfortunately, both Kath and myself took to this diving like a fish to water. That's a bit of a bad pun, really, isn't it? But you always need a buddy. You've got to have your eyes out for each other. Stay close. Watch what each other's doing. If you're in trouble, your buddy's there just to help you out. And so it is with Jesus. We've got to stay close to Jesus. We can go off and we're in a flummox. We've got to come back and just walk at the Master's side. He demonstrates how to communicate underwater, the dive master. If you do that, you're right. If you do that, you've got a problem because you've got to shoot up, and that's going to be a messy bit of body on the surface. Are you okay? Is that? That means I want to go up. I'm in trouble. So you've just got to learn that what we do down here is not necessarily the same way you communicate underwater. Jesus demonstrates the requirement that we have to imitate him to do the things that he does. The same thing the dive master does, the same things that Jesus does. And that's what Jesus tells us. He teaches how to be obedient, how to be faithful, humble and submissive. As he demonstrates these things, we are asked to imitate him. We had Ephesians 5:1 in this current course that we're doing, Life in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. Be imitators of the dive master. That's the likeness that I'm comparing with scuba diving, with Jesus. Ephesians 5 tells us there's no cutting corners, but we keep failing, but we practice make perfect, they said. But you know what I mean. Unlike Jesus, we're never going to be perfect, but I'm sure you know what I mean. Learn from Jesus and try and live just as he did. When you've qualified for diving, you receive your certification. You are then able to enjoy the wonders of being able to dive at 18 metres. Some people, that's enough. For others, you want to know more, you want to go deeper, and that's what happened with us. We wanted to do the advanced open water where you can dive at 30 metres, 100 feet underwater. It's unbelievable, really. But that's what it allows you to do. You mix different airs. You learn to breathe different airs. You learn to do adventure dives, wreck diving, dive through caves. We wanted to see more, to experience more, but still under the supervision of that dive master. You can't do it on your own. We needed his expertise. This is just how it works in the kingdom of God. Once we've begun the journey, we discover that there's so much to learn. We realise that each of us have got gifts and callings beyond that basic certification of just believing in Jesus. And if we allow Jesus, who's the teacher and qualifies all things we do, and still things, he's got things for us that we don't even know about yet. We can, and we should, expect the unexpected. In our reading, the wise men expected to return the same way as they had come, but they learned through a dream that they hadn't got to do that. Not only did they learn, they were obedient to that dream, and they went back a different way. Herod was thinking, yeah, they're going to come back, then that'll sort my plan out. He didn't expect them to go back a different way. But the wise men were obedient to that. Kath, when she got her hammer, I was nearly kneecapped for a few hours. But a few hours later, it all came into focus. Are we ready? Ready to dive deeper into that wave? As I said, it impressed me. I hope it may have impressed some of you. God's love is immense. And Chris said in this, when he had the wave, that life in the Spirit is just being immersed, just throwing yourself in. And doing more and more. As divers, we have a manual. You can't just learn it, as I said earlier, and that's it. You've got to keep going back to it. as Christians, we have to keep going back to this. We're reminded when Mel spoke on Science Sunday that it's not just a one-off read. You've got to keep going back to it. And so it is with us. We've got to keep going back to the Bible. It's not a one-off read. It's a keep on reading it. So what do we want in this new year? I think people already prayed for that. Sally did. Hazel did in a Christmas kiddies thing. I think my prayer would be that we'll really step out in faith as a body. There's so much happening now, but there's so much God's ready to do within us as individuals and as a body of people within this church. And I think my prayer is that we step out in faith as a body and we explore the great things that God has in store for us and just immerse ourselves in that wave. And I just ask at the end, are we ready to expect the unexpected?